understand to be true. And I think that, you know, in terms of that, one must wash eyes because it changes your perspective, and how your movie interacts with that idea is part of that storytelling. So as I mentioned in the introduction, your Vancouver debut is coming up, screening at the Vancouver International Film Festival venue as part of Gem Fest 2025. What are the details? What do people need to know to come and see the film?
Yes. To have our BC Vancouver premiere at GEMS Festival 20th anniversary on the opening night, March 5th at 6 p.m. at the VIF Center in downtown. I will be there to have a proper Q&A afterwards. So if you want to come down and watch the movie and ask any questions you want about the film, about the story, about what I have for breakfast, please do. We would love to have you there.
Fantastic. It only plays the one night?
Yes. Yeah, just the opening night.
Okay. So it's a one-shot deal for folks to get in and see it. I would imagine that tickets are available on the GemFest website or through their portal, and I can post links to all of the information when this airs, just before the viewing, so that people know how to get there.
Yeah, that's perfect. You can find tickets on their website in the 2025 lineup of GEMS Festival.
Perfect. Any final words from you? Anything you want to end off with?
Nothing really, just that, know that Women Life Freedom Movement didn't only happen because of a piece of fabric. It's more than that. It's for human rights, basic human rights. And always stay vigilant, because what happened in Iran and what's happening in Afghanistan could happen to any country and society. And we hope to see you at the screening on March 5th. We are super excited to show our film. And yeah, we hope to see you there. Thank you so much for this interview.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Robin Erickson, the former programming coordinator and host of Intravenous, as well as Roots and Berries here at CJSF 90.1 FM. And thanks to Sepada Yadagar for speaking about her film. That interview was from February of last year, speaking about the film's premiere at GemFest at the VIF Theater. The film is back. Robin mentioned that it was a one-night-only engagement. Well, it's back. And that return is tonight, Thursday, May 28th, at the Rio Theater in East Vancouver at the corner of Commercial and Broadway. The doors are at 6. The movie is at 6:30. And Sepada will be in attendance for a Q&A afterwards. You can grab tickets at riotheater.ca. You can also grab them at the door. Please go check it out.
You know why you listen to this station. It plays new music, supports your community, and provides up-to-date news that you know you can trust. And unlike other stations, the people who work and volunteer here are a part of your community. Remember, though, they do this on a shoestring budget. The solution is the Community Radio Initiative. You can find out more details at mycri.ca. In just a few clicks, you can generate an email to send to the politicians who need to hear your message. mycri.ca.
Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. We're going to hear a little bit of music, and this is coming to you partly because inspired by at least the fact that the lineup for the Catalano Street Festival was announced last week. And it is just chock full of local artists. 50, 60 different performers at multiple stages on Saturday, July 11th. On West 4th Avenue from Burrard to McDonald. I will be there. Lots of CGSF folks will be there. And you can catch this band, who totally rule, on one of the stages. This is Something Good by Serengeti.
Flowers roll out the red carpet for desired visitors like hummingbirds and bumblebees, with bright colors and petals that act as landing pads. But flowers are sometimes victims of nectar thieves, species that bypass the flower's intended route to nectar without picking up any pollen. Tennessee warblers might not look like crafty robbers. They're tiny yellowish songbirds with a white stripe over their eyes. But they specialize in hacking into flowers. With their short, sharp bills, They tap a hole into the flower's base and enjoy an easy meal as nectar drips out. Tennessee warblers do most of their nectar drinking in tropical forests on their wintering grounds. During the breeding season in North America, insects are their most important food source. In fact, these warblers may help protect trees from spruce budworm. When there's a budworm outbreak, Tennessee warblers eat almost nothing else. So these nectar thieves give back to their ecosystems in their own way. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. Tom and Annalie Luman celebrate Bird Note with today's show. They believe Bird Note stories are a magical doorway to nature and all of its wonders.
Welcome back to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. You just heard Bird Note, but before that was Something Good by Serengeti, who you can catch at the Catalano Street Festival, July 11th. Coming up quick. Up next, we're going to hear a piece by our community journalist, Danny Nesvedrani, who attended a protest over the weekend organized by youth a protest against the proposed new construction of data centers here in Vancouver. Well, I guess there in Vancouver, as we're in Burnaby right now, as well as in the Okanagan, and just generally against AI across the board. So we'll hear that now.
Reporting from Vancouver, BC, this is Danny Nesvedrani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. Hundreds gathered outside Waterfront Station in downtown Vancouver on Saturday, May 23rd, to protest the opening of two AI data centers in the city. These data centers have been proposed by TELUS as part of the federal government's Enabling Large-Scale Sovereign AI Data Centers initiative. For those in attendance at the protest, the major concerns surrounding these data centers come from the potential environmental impacts, especially regarding water usage, during a time when the province is undergoing water usage restrictions. The rally first started at Waterfront Station and marched on to Granville Street all the way to Granville Island. No AI! No AI! No AI! And then afterwards, kept marching all the way down to City Hall. This protest was organized by 18-year-old North Vancouver resident Torin LaRoque, who said he was inspired by similar AI data center protests in the United States and wanted to stop these centers from being built altogether.
It is honestly, I am in awe. I did not expect this many people to show up at all. I am beyond blessed that the community of Vancouver is so generous and kind to help me in organizing this protest and showing up and spreading the word. The main one that you can do to help in supporting us is stop using AI like ChatGPT and Gemini. We also do recommend, if you do want to support even further, social media is using a lot of AI components inside of it subconsciously as well. So cutting back on social media, Spotify, Google too is becoming fully AI next week. So stop using Google. Ecosia is a great alternative. Every couple of searches you do, they plant a tree, so I highly recommend them.
According to the TELUS media release on these AI data centers, quote, once fully scaled, this powerful cluster is expected to deliver approximately $9 billion in economic value to British Columbia, create more than 1,000 construction jobs, and hundreds of high-skilled operation roles. End quote. However, for many of those that we spoke to at the protest, these claims are either overstated or not worth the potential environmental harm of these data centers.
Yeah, my name is Justin Island. I'm the vice president of the Canadian Animation Guild, IATSE Local 938. Earlier you heard our president have a speech. And we're out here because of our members, their support for this movement in terms of making it known to City Hall, to provincial, to federal, that these AI data centers not only are a detriment to their community and their immediate workplace, but also just their art form that we make our living in as a whole.
And we are in a very grievous state right now in our planet, our culture, in the oligarchy, in the continuous violent oppression of Mother Nature, each other, humanity, and human empathy. And this is a local way that I can actually attend and add my body to a group of people to really help stand up for something that I think is incredibly important. Like, where has the environmental consultation been? We're already in stage 2 water shortages right now. They are completely predicting that BC is going to have its most catastrophic fire season ever on record.
I'm out here because I'm super concerned about AI. Even if we were to take everything at face value, all of the amazing benefits, even if they were all true, it's still consuming so much water to do so, when the UN has put out a report saying that we are in a water deficit. There will be water privatization, there will be water wars, unless we do something about it.
It's going to consume a lot of the water in the area, and especially with like water notices already going out in the lower mainland, that we're going to have to start conserving. It's like, that's very alarming. It's going to use up a bunch of electricity. They generate a ton of noise. They're placing it right in like a residential area. And I also don't know what they're using it for. Like, we already have OpenAI, we have ChatGPT, they already have data centers. It's already keeping up with demand. So Tel is jumping in on this. It's like, I don't know what they're using it for, but it can't be good.
Okay, my name is Marissa.
My name is Jordan.
Okay, what brought me here today, I want more for our future generations. I feel like the way that we're going right now, this is not helpful for anybody. Nobody wants an AI data center in Vancouver. Nobody asked for this. I feel like AI is genuinely killing our generations, and you can see it not just when you open your phone, you go in the news. No, you see it within your communities. I can see actively my cousins, the young people in my life, they are declining. They are relying fully on AI. They're not reading. People, they can't spell anymore. They can't write. They can't do this. They can't do that. People are fully dependent on a bot that does not care about you, does not have any concept of humanity. It's a robot, basically. You know, I feel like it's such a huge waste of our time, and we're just going backwards as a society at this point.
I was very ignorant before the topic until I met recently an environmental scientist, and he told me about how we were getting this data center. I'm not on social media much. I didn't even know we were getting a data center. I don't watch the news. I didn't know we were getting a data center in Vancouver. So to learn this and to learn that recently Vancouver even themselves said they're running out of fresh water, and now they want to stick this data center to the middle of that and take that the rest of that. That Torin was talking about himself on his page would heat around 58,000 homes. That is disgusting.
And also, just feel like speaking more broadly too, I feel like it was so important to come out today, because just the strength of community and actually showing up and organizing. It was what they were saying before about like the people saying, oh yeah, like AI data centers took me from rags to riches. I remember there was also a group of boys saying, oh, what is this going to do? Like, it's not going to do anything. I'm sure you're doing so great, guys. And I'm like, it's like, okay, you can have that mentality, but how do you think any revolution ever started? How do you think anything ever started? It's small at first. People just have to gather, and that's where change actually comes from.
While the impacts of this protest have yet to be seen, according to Torin LaRocque, another rally is in the works for the month of June. This is an ongoing story, and we will make sure to keep you updated as it progresses. This has been Danny Nesvetterani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
Thanks to Danny for that report. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. I host on Thursdays. Danny, who you just heard, hosts on Tuesdays, and our station manager, Magnus, hosts on Mondays from 10 to 11. On Wednesdays, we have Intravenous, hosted by our public affairs and talk coordinator, Nicole, who also has a show this afternoon called Beats and Eats, which you should stick around and listen to. Also coming up later today, well, all sorts of great stuff. Thursday is a great, great day for programming. But before I get into that, I want to tell you what's happening tomorrow in this time. That's right. We have the final episode of Nook Me, which is a short, limited-run show produced by Caitlin Terrell, who joined us from the School of Contemporary Arts on an internship last semester, and has been producing the show, which is a blend of music, interview, and sound art collaboration with a focus on Indigenous youth from across Turtle Island. You can check that out again tomorrow at 10 a.m., we'll have the sixth and final episode of Munuk Me. If you want to catch up on the whole thing, you can go to cgsf.ca. It's on the front page, or you can go directly to cgsf.ca/contents/Munuk Me, and you'll be able to listen to all six episodes. Well, you can listen to five right now, and by tomorrow, you'll be able to listen to the sixth. Yes, it is Thursday, one of our big, great days. Every day is a great day here at CJSF, but coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll have Democracy Now!, and then we'll go on to an episode of Open Mic. Then we've got the aforementioned Beats and Eats by Nicole, and then our new SCA intern is doing a radio show at 2 o'clock, which you can tune in for. After that, we'll have Free Voices, and then I will be making another appearance on the radio as the guest on Charlotte's program, Call Me Negotiator. You can check that out at 4. Then we've got the Art Show with Jacob at 5, Analog Archives with Danny at 6, Wham Bam East Van with Linda at 7, and the 60-minute stage dive, remotely recorded all the way in Lethbridge with volunteer coordinator Jeremy at 8 o'clock. So a whole big, great day of music and talk and interesting ideas coming. We're almost out of time here in the hour, but we're going to get at least one more thing in here, and we're going to go back to the record Same Things by Spencer Krug, which I love, just came out on May 15th, and you've heard in this hour on other weeks my interview with Spencer, and the record is just great. So let's hear once again Time Bomb by Spencer Krug.
When I wrote you all and said we're gonna be different on the other side, when I wrote you different on the other side, this is not the way. I recall the moody, broody child that we let tag along, and we kept dropping words like trash at their feet, and we named them Time Bomb. I got home and tried to rewrite the song that I caught listening to music in cars, because I thought there might be more meaning there to find. Turns out the song's just what it is. In fact, I probably attach too much meaning to the thing the song's about. The first time, sha-la-la-la. Sha-la-la-la-la-la. Thank you.
After the vast majority of nurses in BC voted in favor of striking earlier this month, a tentative agreement has been reached for a new collective agreement between the Nurses Bargaining Association, Provincial Bargaining Committee, and the Health Employers Association of BC. After months of difficult negotiations and a strike vote, the tentative agreement includes improvements to benefits coverage and access to enhanced mandate monies in addition to the government's general wage increase of 12% over 4 years. The agreement also addresses priorities nurses identified throughout bargaining, including workplace safety, violence prevention measures, and other measures to improve working conditions for nurses across BC. The Bargaining Association also negotiated an agreement with the province's Ministry of Health to secure significant additional funding to continue implementing minimum nurse-to-patient ratios. In a statement, BC Nurses Union President Adrian Geer credited the solidarity of nurses across the province in helping negotiators reach a new tentative agreement. The record strike mandate shifted the balance of power at the bargaining table and gave the committee the leverage to push harder, stay at the table longer, and secure meaningful gains for nurses across the province, she said. The bargaining committee believes this represents the strongest agreement achievable through negotiations in this round of bargaining. The HEABC says that the tentative agreement supports the government's key priorities to protect and strengthen critical services in BC's public sector, maintain labor stability in a complex round of bargaining, and support the province's efforts to find operational efficiencies that preserve frontline services. The tentative agreement was reached after the Nurses Bargaining Association announced an impasse at the bargaining table on April 21st. On May 12th, the Nurses Union announced that 98.2% of its members had voted in favor of a strike mandate. The two parties then returned to the table on May 12th. HEABC President and CEO Michael McMillan said in a statement, "We are very pleased to have reached a tentative agreement with the Nurses Bargaining Association, which includes fair wage increases, sustainable and improved benefits, and provisions to improve working conditions for nurses. The tentative agreement will now move through the ratification process, giving nurses across BC the opportunity to review and vote on the proposed agreement. The Nurses Bargaining Association is unanimously recommending that its members ratify the agreement in a vote, which will take place from June 15th to 19th. For the Local Journalism Initiative and Kootenai Co-op Radio News, I'm Jamie Frederick.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started, so I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs, interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
No matter your disability, you likely face barriers in your everyday life. At Neil Squire, we help break those barriers down by helping you access employment, technology, and the tools you need to live your life to the fullest. As a nonprofit organization, we empower people with disabilities all across Canada, and we are here for you too. Visit neilsquire.ca to learn more.